You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
In our last study on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, took us through one of the most difficult passages of Scripture to interpret. Now he resumes this conversation and takes us further into Hebrews chapter 6 with a fascinating discussion on the importance of good works in the life of every Christian. As you'll hear, it's important to come to these studies in the spirit of prayer. So let's bow our heads and give this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the teaching that's in your word that helps us to understand you better. Now, as we open our Bibles, help us to set aside any distractions and then listen to your voice. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Hebrews 6 on Through the Bible.
Friends, we are coming to this passage again today in the spirit of prayer, praying that God will help us to understand this passage of Scripture. Now, I'd like to just say again that we are considering this passage, and we're not talking about people losing their salvation, for salvation is not even the subject here. It's if they fall away to renew them to repentance, not salvation. And verse 9 says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." Now he's talking about those things which accompany salvation. There is a place for good works because he's going to judge us at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's speaking here of the fruit of the Christian's life because he speaks of that. In verse 7, "The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it's dressed, receive blessing of God. But if it just brings forth thorns and briars, it's rejected." Now, we'll note several passages here. When Paul wrote to Titus, young preacher, he said to him in Titus 3:5, "It's not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us." Now, from this, one might be inclined to think that Paul is not going to have much regard for good works. But you move on down now to verse 8 of this same chapter and listen to him, "that they who have believed God may be careful to maintain good works." Now, good works do not enter into the matter of salvation, but when one becomes a child of God through faith in Christ, works assume supreme importance. They're very important. It's important, if you're a Christian, that you live the Christian life. It's essential that you do that. When I was in the university as a student, I was sort of an assistant to the teacher in psychology. I thought at one time I'd major in that field. And there was a problem at that time that psychologists discussed. They've moved away from it since then. But which is more important, heredity or environment? Well, my psychology professor, he had a stimulating answer. He said that before you're born, heredity is more important, but after you're born, environment is the major consideration. Now, let's look at that. Before you become a child of God, before you are born again, works do not enter in. You cannot bring them to God because he won't accept them. He says, "The righteousness of man's filthy rags in his sight." Now, you don't think God's going to take in a bunch of dirty laundry, do you? He's accepting sinners, but he accepts on the basis of the redemption we have in Christ. And if we have accepted him, we become a child of God. We're born now. Peter put it like this, "But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's 1 Peter 2:9. Now, if you've been saved, you're to show forth by your good works before the world that you're redeemed to God. Now, the Christian has something to show forth, and that's the thing that he's going to be judged or not. Now, if he's going to continue as a little baby and nothing in the world but a troublemaker and turn people from Christ instead of to Christ, may I say to you, then you can be sure of one thing, that there'll be no reward. In fact, you can be ashamed at his appearing. He says that. Now, will you notice, for as touching those, now will you listen to him, who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, in reading these verses that I've just read, we are brought now to the very center of the study. And I want you to notice, for it is impossible if they shall fall away. Now, the word fall away is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's parapipto, and it's used in other places in Scripture. It never means apostatize. It simply means to fall down, to stumble. It would be absolutely impossible to give it the meaning of apostasy. And you will find that the word parapipto was used in speaking of our Lord when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. Now, the word, it's the same word parapipto, means just that he fell down. The word means to stumble or fall. Peter fell, but he was not lost. The Lord Jesus said, I've prayed that your faith might not fail. He suffered loss, but he was not lost. Then there's the example, I think, of John Mark. He failed so miserably on the first missionary journey that when his uncle Barnabas suggested that he go on the second journey, well, Paul the apostle turned him down and he says, never, this lad's failed. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm through with him. Well, thank God that God wasn't through with him. He stumbled and fell, but God wasn't through with him. And Paul the apostle had to change his mind because before he died, he wrote, he says, bring John Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the gospel. Now, may I say to you, neither man lost his salvation, but he sure failed, and he suffered loss for it. Now, if we go back to this first verse of the sixth chapter, we'll see that Paul is talking to folk here about repentance from dead works. You'll understand that Paul is talking to them not about salvation, but repentance. And you remember that John preached this to the people also. And what did he say? Bring forth the fruit that's worthy of repentance. He's talking about that which is the evidence of repentance. Repentance today does not mean the shedding of a few tears. It means turning right about face toward Jesus Christ, which means a change in your direction, in your life, in your way of living. Now, many of these Jewish believers were returning to the temple sacrifice at that time. And the writer to the Hebrews was warning them of the danger of that. And before Christ came, every sacrifice was a picture of and pointed to his coming. But after Christ came and died on the cross, that which God commanded in the Old Testament now becomes sin. You see, those people were at a strategic point in time and history. They were at the time when a few days before they had gone to the temple with a sacrifice because God commanded it, and now it's wrong for them to do that. Were you today to offer a bloody sacrifice, you would be sacrificing afresh the Lord Jesus Christ because you'd be saying that when he died 1,900 years ago, it was of no avail and that you still need a sacrifice to take care of your sin. Therefore, you would not have faith in his atonement, in his death, in his redemption. Now, someone has said that today. We either crucify or crown the Lord Jesus by our lives. Today, we either exhibit a life of faith or a life by which we crucify him afresh. Especially today when we talk about getting back under the Mosaic system and we have to keep the law. It's a serious matter to go back on these things. Now let me look again at this word here. If they shall fall away. The word, as I indicated last time, happens to be a genitive absolute, having fallen away. You can leave the F out. It's actually not in the text at all. And when someone says that this is the biggest F in the Bible, well, there's no F here. Having fallen away, or when they fall away. And if you want to use the if, it makes, I think, better sense to use it, but not in the sense of condition, but argument, having fallen away. It'd be impossible to renew them again to repentance. Why? Well, we're talking about the fruit of salvation. And it's a serious thing to have accepted Christ and then to live in sin, then to nullify what you do by being a baby and never growing up and doing nothing in the world but working with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, Paul put this same thing in a little different language in the Corinthians. He says, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Your salvation is a foundation. You rest upon it. You can not only rest on it, you're going to build on it. Now, if any man build, Paul says, you can build with six different kinds of material, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. Now, what are you building with today? Are you building up a whole lot of wood, hay, and stubble? A lot of church work today is nothing in the world but wood, hay, and stubble. We are great on organization today and on committees and that sort of thing. But really, do our lives count for God today? Are there going to be people in heaven that will be able to point to you and say, because of your life or your testimony, you gave me the Word of God. And you remember he says, you should be teachers in the Word, and now you need somebody to teach you again. I rejoice today, and somebody said to me, how can you rejoice in that? They're taking your place. All these Bible classes that are springing up, and they're using tapes and your material while they're going to saturate the world. Friends, I hope they do. Why? Because of the fact that is the purpose of all of this, is to get out the Word of God today so that He can bless us, so we can grow up, so we can be a blessing to other people. And that is the thing that He's talking about here that is so essential. And there is a grave danger that we build in wood, hay, and stubble. And by the way, there is a difference between a straw stack and a diamond ring. You can lose a diamond ring in a straw stack because the ring is so small. And I'm afraid today that a great many folk trying to make an impression. One pastor told me, said, I'm killing myself. I have to turn in a report this year bigger than last year. And we have to increase church membership and converts and giving to missions. My friend, may I say to you, let's quit this building in wood, hay, and stubble. How many people were taught the Word of God? How many people actually turned to Christ? How many people were really blessed? And that's the thing he's talking about here. He says, there is a danger that you're going to build with wood, hay, and stubble, and every man's work's going to be tested by fire. Now, what will fire do with wood, hay, and stubble? Poof! It's just going to go up in smoke. There'll be nothing left. And that's what he's going to talk about here, the fact that it'll be destroyed. That's what the Lord Jesus talked about in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. He says, I'm the vine. I'm the genuine vine. You are branches. Now, you're to do what? Bear fruit. You're to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? He says, I'd like a full crop of grapes. And he said again in a parable, he made it very clear, that the seed falls on good ground. What's it to do? Bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He'd like to get 100-fold. Now he says, if there's a branch that won't bear fruit, why do he say, I'm going to take it away, going to burn it, going to remove it from the place of fruit bearing? And my friend, I think he's doing that today. Now, I look back here in Southern California over about 30-some-odd years that I've been in this area. I came here in 1940. Well, I have watched a great many things happen. I have watched laymen. They were men who worked in wood, hay, and stubble. And then I've seen them work with gold. I know a layman that was so prominent when I came here, that man got involved in dishonest transactions. I wouldn't want to go into the presence of Christ. Is that man's going to have to go? I think that he's lost his testimony. And yet, a gifted man, and a man that you can't help but like, I even today consider him a friend. And then I know a minister. He was so attractive. In fact, he was a little too attractive. And he had an affair with another woman. It was not his wife. Finally divorced his wife. And he tried during all that time to keep on teaching, but it didn't amount to anything. He was just putting up a whole lot of straw, not even baling hay. He just making a big old haystack. And finally, the match was put to it, I guess, because he sure didn't leave anything down here. Oh, today, how careful we should be about our Christian lives. And we can't do this in and of ourselves. We need to recognize that He is the vine. If we're to have any life, it must come from Him. And if there's any fruit, it must come from Him. It can only go through us, because that's all a branch is. It's just sort of a connecting rod. That's all. It connects into the vine, and it gets out yonder and bears some fruit, a few grapes out there. That's the thing that He's talking about here, friends. Now, let's look here again at what He's saying. If they shall fall away, having fallen away, having fallen down, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. The thing is, you can shed tears all you want to, but you've lost your testimony. That preacher came to me, talked to me. He said, I'm through. He's attempted to move to several sections up and down the coast, in every place. He's had an affair with a woman. And what's happened? He's lost his testimony. He can't go anywhere today. May I say to you that he's talking about that here. It's impossible to renew them to repentance. I don't question his salvation, but I say this. A gifted individual, a man that can be mightily used to God, but not seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, they put him to an open shame. My friend, any time that you add any works to your salvation, any time that you are saying, I'm a born-again child of God, and then you live like the devil's son, then you're crucifying the Son of God, because He came to give you a perfect redemption and to enable you by the indwelling Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit of God to live for Him. Now, he goes on, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, that bringeth forth herbs meet for them for whom it's dressed, receiveth blessing from God. These herbs bring forth a blessing to man. They are delicious to eat. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Now, the word reject here is the same word Paul used. Paul says, I keep under my body, that I might not be rejected or cast out, but that I might be disapproved. Paul says, when I come into his presence, I don't want to be disapproved. I don't want the Lord Jesus to say to me, you failed me. Your life should have been a testimony. It's not. And friends, you're going to hear it if you don't live for it. Now, somebody needs to say that. And I know that's not popular. It's lots popular today to have some comforting music and read a lovely little poem and quote John 14 of the 23rd Psalm, and they're wonderful. Oh, my, how we need those. But, my friend, you're going to stand before Him someday, and you're before Him today, for that matter. Now, he says, you could be disapproved. And thank God Paul could say when he came to the end of his life, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I know there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, to live for God today. But, beloved, now this is the key. We are persuaded better things of you. Paul says, I'm persuaded that you today are going to live for God. And you're not going to be a babe in Christ, but you're going to grow up. And things that accompany salvation though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Now, work and love won't save you. But if you're saved, I tell you, this is what he rewards you for, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye've ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, here's where good works come in. They certainly have an important part in a Christian's life, but they have nothing to do with your salvation. Now he goes on, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, how wonderful this is. Work and labor of love is not salvation. And we need the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, he's made a lot of promises to us if we're faithful to him. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You know, when you take an oath, you take an oath on something that's greater than you are, and nothing greater than God. So he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I'll bless thee, and multiplying, I'll multiply thee. He promised Abraham that. But now God says, I'll take an oath. This is what I'm going to do. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There's something here that I think is quite wonderful. He patiently endured. What? A new assurance came through trusting God, friend. You walk with God. You grow in grace and the knowledge of him and the knowledge of the Word of God brings you to a place of assurance, and that assurance cannot be gainsaid. Now, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Men take an oath on something greater than they are, and God did not swear by the sun, moon, or stars, but by himself, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So what are the two immutable things today? The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and his ascension and intercession in heaven for you and me today. He mentioned four things in Romans 8. Now he divides them into two immutable things. The death and resurrection of Christ. And now he's yonder, the living Christ at God's right hand, his ascension and intercession, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Aaron was never a forerunner. But Jesus is. He's gone ahead. He's made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, he's going to talk about Melchizedek, and he sure hopes that you and I will not be babies, that we're going to be full-grown sons and hear him. We'll begin that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Dr. McGee said, although good works have nothing to do with our salvation, they certainly do have a very important part in a believer's life. If you'd like a little more time to study and understand this important message of Scripture, then go back and listen to this message or any of our messages again for free on our app or by visiting ttb.org. Another way that you can dig a little deeper into Hebrews is by downloading our free Bible companion for Hebrews at ttb.org. And for those who have been waiting for our Bible companions to be available in a printed format, well, we've heard your requests, and you can now purchase Dr. McGee's New Testament Bible companions at ttb.org or when you call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you get yours, why don't you tell us what you think, especially if you're using them for small group study. That's really what they're designed for. So as we go, I'd want to remind you that December's Letter Month here at Through the Bible, and we really do want to hear from you. Your stories of how God's working in and through you inspire all of us. So would you write to us today? Use the feedback tool in the app or email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or send your letter the good old-fashioned way to the post office at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. You can even leave a message at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if you've got questions about this ministry or the Bible study resources that we offer, including our terrific monthly newsletter that contains more great teaching from Dr. McGee and tips to help you apply what you're learning to your life, call us 1-800-652-4253 or just visit ttb.org. Our study of Hebrews continues next time as the Bible bus rolls along on its 5-year journey through God's entire Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I look forward to traveling with you through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. I pray that all is well and your hearts are in tune with the Word of God. I am Minister Gloria Ross of Doula Assembly of Melbourne, Florida, and it's our pleasure to present unto you the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save your souls. And Jesus said in his word, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest for your souls." Hallelujah. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Our P.O. box is 2303 Melbourne, Florida, 32902 for any correspondences. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord, our dear Savior, and we give honor and praise unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that everybody that are tuned in to the broadcast, whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ or not, I pray that you would stay tuned for this broadcast, because what is needed is most needed, and that is that as a child of God, divine protection should be upon us all at all times. And those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ can have the same, providing that they give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we want to look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we want to talk about the whole armor of God. Because in these trying times now, especially what's going on, we need the whole armor of God on. We don't need part of the armor. We need the whole armor of God. And even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ can have the same, providing they give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, and he was explaining to them the spiritual warfare that a child of God goes through. Praise God. There's warfare. The enemy is not allowing you to just walk about and say that you were born again and not create any kind of fireworks or perhaps warfare in your life. Well, Paul was telling the church that we are to be covered by the blood of Jesus. We are to walk with this whole armor. And the word whole means the complete armor of God. That's what the whole is, complete armor of God. So he explained to them in the 10th chapter there, and listen to what he's saying. He said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you this anymore, because first of all, you should be aware of what's going on." He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In other words, we cannot be strong in ourselves. We must be strong in the Lord. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on. And that doesn't mean that you put it on in the morning and take it off at night time. No. Once it's put on, a completion is done. By faith, you believe that you have the whole armor of God on. So it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So a statement made like that will give us clear indication that a lot of folks weren't putting the complete armor on. What they were doing is that they were walking in particular parts of the armor. But God wants us to have the whole armor. And praise God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And that armor is needed. It's most necessary because what happens is that you're standing or coming up against forces of darkness that have an enormous amount of dark power. I'll put it in that fashion, where they're able to do a lot of things to children of God. So he said, put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the deception, the strategy, or the tricks of the enemy. He uses a lot of tricks to keep us from being obedient to what the Word of God says. So he said, put on the whole armor, complete armor of God, that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells us to fight and who we are engaged in this warfare with. It's not any little yinky-dinky demon or whatever it is. We're talking about forces of darkness that have the capabilities of taking you out if you are not aware of what's going on. This is why you need God's armor and not man's armor, but God's armor. Man will try to have a machine gun or put on some kind of flak jacket, or perhaps something that's materialistic. But God wants you to put on his armor, and that is the whole armor of God. And what is happening is that he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, you cannot see the enemy here that is attacking you, that is causing confusion, that is trying to take you out. No, it's the whole armor of God. And what is happening is that there are principalities, these forces of principalities and powers and might and dominion. And I want to tell you, they're grossly capabilities of taking you out if you're not prepared to engage in this warfare. So Paul says here, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, the enemy that you're engaged with, you cannot see him. This is the reason why God wants us to have the whole armor on that we're able to stand. And see, we may not be able to see them, these forces, because of their invisibility. But we're able to encounter them once they identify themselves. And most of them identifying themselves with the different types of strategies. And what happened is that we know exactly how to deal with them concerning the spiritual warfare. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the person that's walking in the flesh in whom you're able to see, he is not our enemy unless he lends himself over to the enemy. But the warfare that we're engaged in is these spiritual forces which we cannot see with our natural eyes. And the moment that they surface or identify themselves concerning their activity, we are able to engage them with the whole armor of God. Now let's take for an instance right now. There are enemies of our mind that would try to persuade us to do things that are differently are not concerned what the Word of God says. Well, God has given us the remedy for it. The moment that they surface, we are to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And this is why when they surface, we are able to identify and put them in prison. And when I say put them in prison, we cast them down, bring them at the foot of the cross, and everything the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, we overpower them with spiritual force, force from God, the one that is able to do all things. All right, so he says that who we're wrestling against, it's not those that we're able to see, but the invisible foes. They don't rest and they don't stop. They're always doing something. Whatever it is, it's all evil. But the point of the matter is that everything that God has given us, we have the power against those forces. And Minister Gloria, would you read the next verse here?
It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole arm of God.
Yes.
That you may be able to withstand in evil days.
Yes.
These days are very evil.
These days are very evil.
And having done all, we must stand.
Amen. Praise God.
Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth.
Well, you see, the first thing that we step off with, because the devil is a liar, and all of the things that are associated with him are nothing but lies. So what happened, Paul is telling us, wherefore stand in truth. Praise God.
And who's truth?
That's
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Stand in truth. So we put on the belt of truth. Everything hinges according to his warfare, according to the power, according to the equipment that God has blessed every born-again believer with, to withstand the strategy of the enemy. Everything hangs on the belt of truth. Now, we know that the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God tells us that if we continue in his Word, then we are his disciples, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Praise God. So we stand in truth. So when the enemy comes in to tell you one thing, he's telling you a lie. Because what is happening is that we are walking in the truth of God's word. All this armor, praise God, we're equipped with truth.
And Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Praise God. Praise God. You can't get to the Father except through the Son. But the most important thing here is that the belt of truth holds all the equipment, everything that the warrior, and I say warrior, I'm talking about a child of God, a warrior, as he or she wars against the powers of darkness. And what he says here, that we are to stand.
Amen.
We are not to run. We're not to turn our back on the enemy. We are to stand and engage in warfare.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, the enemy is not operating in righteousness. And we know that we have the righteousness of God. So the Bible tells us that who has made us,
he has made him to be sin for us.
Yes.
Who knew no sin.
Yes.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. So we have God's righteousness, and we are able to stand against any wickedness and things that the enemy will bring against us. Go ahead, man.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
The gospel of peace. The gospel of good news.
Amen.
It's telling people how much Jesus loves them. And every matter of fact, if you really look at this armor, everything that the armor is displaying that you are showing to the enemy is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
You know, I like when he says this gospel of peace, because he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Neither let it be afraid.
Well, praise God. Well, we shouldn't be afraid as children of God, because look at the whole armor that we have on. The enemy doesn't have this kind of armor, and we have the armor, whole armor of God on. Praise the Lord. And what is happening is that we're walking in truth. What was that other one?
Righteousness.
We're in righteousness.
Righteousness.
Praise God. And we're walking in righteousness.
Feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace.
And our feet is prepared, and we're walking in the truth, the good news. The gospel is good news. So we're walking in good news, the power of God.
And above all, taking the shield of faith.
And praise God.
Where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Praise God.
Hey.
You cannot walk with this armor unless you're walking in truth, in having faith. Having faith. Praise God. So what is happening is that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the anchor of everything that we're doing. So when we're walking by faith, not by sight, but by faith,
that's right.
We overcome the enemy.
Right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Right.
Amen. Faith is what pleases God.
Amen.
Without faith, you can't please him.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whoa, glory to God, right? Oh, hallelujah. Next, it says, and take the helmet of salvation.
And we know in Acts 4 and verse 12, mm-hmm. it tells us that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the Lord Jesus Christ is that what? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is that armor.
That's the helmet of salvation.
You cannot get saved. It shall come in
through Jesus Christ.
To the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Woo. And we take our offensive weapon, which is the sword, and we get into the combat with the enemy.
Yes.
And the sword is the word of God.
Yes. That's we need the word of God. Amen.
And that's what we're speaking all the time when the enemy comes. We are to speak the word of God. Give the enemy what God has done and what God has said. Because once we speak God's word, I want to tell you God is on the scene.
Uh-huh.
In Jeremiah, the, I think it's the first chapter, where the word of God tells us that he's patient to perform his word. And if his word is there, he's going to protect us. Praise God. He's watching over his word.
Mm.
It's not so much about you, but it's about the word of God. He's protecting his word. So the weapons and everything that will be used all belongs to God. We don't have those weapons in our possession. That's why we have to walk by faith.
Amen.
Not by the things we see with our natural eyes, but by faith. The word of God says that you have the helmet of salvation. That's exactly what it is. You have the helmet of salvation. And the breastplate of righteousness, that you're righteous, that's exactly what it is. And you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that is a whole armor. So the enemy will come and try to tell you a lie, that you don't have this armor on, but you don't believe it, because by faith, you know that you have the whole armor of God on, and you're walking because you belong to him.
Amen.
Praise God.
It says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all.
Praise God.
We ought to pray always. Pray without ceasing.
Yes, we should pray always. That's what the word of God says.
And pray for one another.
And pray for one another. But the most important thing here is praying always. You don't know whether there's somebody that's in China, Russia, or whatever it may be that needs help. And we can't get there. But we can send God's Spirit. God's presence can be there, manifesting itself in that person. Praise God. Having done all sin, we are just praying. Praise God. Continue to pray. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and verse 26. Praise God that we don't know what we should pray for as we are. but the Spirit helped us out in front of it. Through groaning in the morning, which cannot be uttered. So I want to tell you, we have the whole prayer king, but we can't just jump out and do it. We need a leader. And Apostle Paul is speaking very clear concerning his position in the body of Christ, his position in this warfare. Praise God. So we pray in all ways with all prayer and supplication, but it has to be done in the Spirit. That's the Spirit of the living God. That is not the Spirit that you were born again with. I'm talking about the Spirit, which is the blessing that God has placed on your life in terms of the unknown tongue. We are to pray always. Pray always.
Amen.
We don't know what's going on, but we pray. We know that the Holy Spirit helps us our infirmities. And the things which we pray for, a lot of times they're selfish. Mm-hmm. But when the Holy Spirit leads us, he knows exactly what to pray for. Because there may be somebody over there in China that needs a blessing, that needs to be stirred up. And I tell you, when we pray, he will use them. Praise God. You want to look at him? Praise the Lord.
Praise God. He's worthy.
He is worthy. Yes, he is.
And during this time of the season, I know a lot of people, they get depressed and money's kind of short. But praise God, this is the best gift to give during this season. This is the reason for this season, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him. Receive him now.
Yes.
Because today is a day of salvation.
Amen. This is the time when you, as all others, can walk with the whole arm of God. Praise God. We pray. The Spirit make an intercession for us. We'll groan in the morning because we cannot utter. I want to tell you, we serve a good God. He's clothed us in all of who he is. And we are walking and we are talking. We've been a blessing to one another. And we're here. Praise God. I tell you, the God that we serve is a good God. And he loves us. He wants us fully dressed. He doesn't want us going out half-cocked. Well, the dress looks good, but everything else you're wearing doesn't fit you. Doesn't want it that way. God doesn't want that. He wants us to wear his armor.
Amen.
The whole armor of God. And with his armor, we can stand. Just like David stood against the multitude, against Golgotha. Praise God. He didn't take much to defeat him. He didn't take much to defeat him. Defeat the enemy. So the enemy is defeated. We know he is. When he comes down, bringing a lie to us, we speak the truth.
Well, that's why it says, submit to God. Yes. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you must submit to the word.
Yes.
You must submit to the word. Hallelujah.
Yeah, when you submit to the word, then you're submitting unto God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. I said the Word was made flesh. That's why none of us can brag or boast about anything, because the Word has us all. So we're blessed and we can walk in the Word of God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That word is all powerful.
Yes, the word works.
The word works if you work the word.
Amen.
Praise God. But if you just say the word works and don't work the word, then you're not going to benefit from it. But I tell you today, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the application of God's word is all powerful. All powerful. We must apply this word every day. Once we are born again and have applied the word, we can walk in victory. We can walk in victory. Praise God. We can walk in everything that God has said. So now you got the helmet of salvation. You have the breastplate of righteousness You have your loins girded to the Bible of the truth. You have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Otherwise, you're walking in truth. You're not trying to overpower anyone unless they rise up against you. So, praise God. We're walking in peace. Glory to God.
Walking in the
yes.
In complete Jesus. In complete
walking in peace. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And on down. Not only the peace of God, we have the unity of faith. And faith is there to block or cancel out anything that the enemy is trying to do. We have faith in God. Now, the Bible tells us that we're looking at blessed hope that that we're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The imminent return. We don't know when it's coming, but we know it is coming.
Yes.
And when it comes to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No one else. I know many people are talking about the many are talking about the Holy Spirit, yet they don't know him the way that I know him. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a couple of minutes left. I want to extend an invitation out there.
Hallelujah.
To everybody that heard this broadcast, that tonight going to church, I want to pray for them right now. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch them, whoever it is, Lord, that they would let us know that they're joining the broadcast and that the word of God is powerful. It changes lives. It forgives one another. I'm telling you, this word is powerful. So Paul says, find them in my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God loves you. His armor is safeguarded. There's nothing that's covering the rear of the soldier. And what's happening is he's not to run from the enemy, but to stand firm, grip himself in what we call the foot grab grip, and then we can engage in walking down.
Open up your hearts right now. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
For the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. That is awesome. You can get into the same armor that everyone else has up in if you just call upon the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So just keep in mind that God loves you and we love you as well. And those that are not born again, they can give their heart to Jesus. He is the man. He is the one that's able to do it. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Amen.
Mm.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.